Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled Enlarged by Exposure. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
It was only when Christ came into the earth that any real lasting redemption for mankind was set into motion. During the thousands of years between the birth, the fall of Adam and the birth of Christ, there was no lasting redemption at all. Despite all of the patriarchs of the Old Testament, despite the priests and the prophets and the tabernacle and the temple and the sacraments and the ordinances and excuse me, and the ceremonies, despite all of the sacrifices that were made, none of them were lasting. There was no lasting redemption act. There was no real change. There was no sacrifice that was great enough for a man to get back into the place that he was in before the fall of Adam. Nothing like that happened until Christ came. And when God sent Christ, he came and he brought a lasting redemption, meaning I don't have to get saved every Sunday. I got saved and I'm just working on my salvation, meaning that when he came, he embodied everything that heaven had to offer. When Christ came to the earth, he exposed humanity to divinity. And when I say that, see, we were not privy to really to see so much of the life of Christ. From his birth to the age of 12, we didn't hear about any great miraculous miracles. We didn't hear about any great sermons that he preached. And then from the age of 12 to the age of 30, which was 18 years, we didn't hear hide nor hair of him at all. We don't know what was going on in his life, but what we do know is what the Gospels tell us, which for the most part was during the ages, between the ages of 30 and 33. And it was during those 3 years, he did so much during those 3 years of his life that he set in motion a faith that burns like a fire. And it burns so hot that nobody, not even agnostics, not even atheists, not demons, not devils, not death itself could extinguish that fire. For 3 years, he walked amongst men. For 3 years, he exposed us to the ways of God, to the mind of God, to the acts of God, to the miracles of God. For 3 years, he stretched the minds of men. For 3 years, he challenged the way that they thought. For 3 years, he provoked them and he confronted them and he stimulated the religious mindset to possibly think on another level. He healed the sick and they saw it. He raised the dead. He radically changed mankind forever, all because of something that is called exposure. And the disciples, they said, look, we saw it for ourselves. We didn't just hear about it. We saw it. We beheld him. We saw his glory. We saw his majesty. We felt the nail prints that was in his hands. We saw the piercing that was in his side. We have handled him. We have touched him. We have borne in our body the marks of Jesus. And there is no way that you could get any of these men to deny what they knew once they knew it. Once they knew it, they could never deny what they knew. And when people would try to dispute the whole situation, I love what the Apostle Paul said, and he said it in the Message Bible. He said, quite frankly, I don't want to be bothered anymore by all of these disputes. I have far more important things to do. The seriousness of living this faith. I ain't got time to talk to you. I got to live this faith that I believe in, because I bear in my body the scars of my service to Jesus. May what our Master Jesus Christ gives freely be deeply, and may it personally be yours. Woo! He said, you got to get this for yourself. They were men of God that were exposed exposed to God on a personal level, and their life was never, ever, ever the same. Somebody ought to holler, expose me, God. I don't care who prophesied to you. I don't care who laid hands on you. You can never become what God really wants you to become without proper exposure. I'm not talking about the kind of exposure that says, yes, thank the Lord. Give me a platform. Put me out there. Let everybody see what kind of gift I have. That is not the kind of exposure that I am talking about. I'm talking about the kind of exposure that the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling. The Message Bible says, I am praying that your eyes will be focused and that your eyes will be clear so that you can see exactly what it is that God himself is calling you to do. Paul was saying, I want you to expose to what God was hoping for when he made you, because he was hoping for something when he made you. And I want Paul was saying, I want you to know what that thing is. Exposure is critical if you are going to tap in to the master plan of God for your life. And I say it is critical because if you are not exposed to the right things, you will never tap into the master plan. And without being able to access the master plan for your life, you will never know why you were made like you were made. So to move effectively into what God is calling you to move into, you have got to be able to make decisions effectively. But you cannot make effective, intelligent decisions with poor information. Therefore, you need exposure. What is exposure? It is, exposure is an act, according to the dictionary, it is an act of revealing. It is an act of disclosing. It is an act of unfolding and unveiling and unmasking. God, he gives us, he exposes us to purpose. God exposes us to things on purpose for purpose. God exposes us to things on purpose for purpose. There is a reason that you are sitting in this church today. There is, those of you that are members of this house, there is a reason. There is something inside of you. There's something locked up in your purpose that said you have to connect to this purpose, because there are things that you have got to be. You are not here by accident. I had to be a part of your life. Woo, y'all better help me. It is, tell somebody, it's because of purpose. And sometimes God will expose us to things today because of what he's going to do tomorrow. And sometimes he will expose us to things by just simply giving us a taste of them. Okay, it's like, for instance, have you ever went to Sam's on Friday night? I mean, if you're hungry, go to Sam's on Friday night. Because they prepare all of these little samples of things. And the reason that they do that is because they're trying to entice you to purchase their product. So they give you a little bitty taste of the chicken salad on a cracker because they want you to buy the 5-pound jug of chicken salad. And they know that you are not likely to buy it unless you have had a taste of it. So they give you the flavor of it so that you will go around and buy the actual thing. And you would have never bought it had you not been exposed to it. That's what's wrong with some of us today. We've had a little too much exposure. Hallelujah. And so there you are at the checkout stand, and you got a cart full of things that you never even came in there to buy. But the reason you're buying them is because of exposure. And you don't buy everything that you taste because it might just not be for you. But there are some things you taste them, and then you just kind of walk away with your cart, and you'll be like, and you go back and you try to find. Now, where did you say that was? Because the taste got to you, and you might have not even known that it existed before, but it was so powerful in your life that you said, I got to go back and get some more of that. And like I said, you never knew that so-and-so made such kind of chicken salad, but now that you know, and now that you've tasted it, and now that you have been made aware of it, now that you understand it is accessible, now that you have been exposed to it, you find yourself enjoying something that you would have never enjoyed because you had not been exposed to it. But now, because of the exposure, you go and get it, and you are enjoying something great in life. Because tell somebody, exposure is critical. It is a shame, with all that is available to us, how underexposed that we are. And I'm not just talking about underexposed to church or underexposed to the Bible or Christian television or Christian radio or Christian authors or anything like that. I'm just talking about life in general. What I'm saying to you, tell somebody, brace yourself. It might come as a shock what I'm about to tell you. But it's okay, here it comes. God is bigger than the church you attend on Sunday. He's bigger than the bishop. He's bigger than me. He's bigger than Christian television. He's bigger than TBN. He's bigger than the Word Network. He's bigger than all of the recording artists. He's bigger than televangelists. God is big. Since I'm shocking you, let me just give you a double whammy shock. Can I tell you, you can find God in things and in places outside of the church? I'm telling you now. Now, am I saying don't come to church? Absolutely not, because you're breaking an ordinance. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourself. You're not supposed to do that. But am I telling you that you can find Jesus somewhere outside of here? Sure enough, you can find him. You can find him in the club. You can find him in the bar. You can be sitting half drunk on a bar stool, and he come in and say, hey, you're better than this. You need to come up out of this. Next thing you know, you're like, I got to go. I got to get out of here. I can't hang out with y'all, because God is everywhere. Tell somebody, he's everywhere. God is everywhere, and he refuses to stay limited to the church just because that's where you have decided to stay limited to. Ooh, that's good preaching, Pastor Brady. And I'm an advocate for the church. I love the church. He died for the church. And I'm a pastor of the church. I love the church. I grew up in the church. All I know is the church, okay? I grew up all of my life hearing preachers. I heard them preach that. I heard them preach things that didn't really set well with me. I grew up hearing them say it was a sin for you to watch TV. I grew up hearing them say things like it's a sin. Definitely don't go to the movies. And you cannot go bowling. Forget about that, because that's the world's places. And I grew up hearing that you can't wear nail polish. You got to get that nail polish off your hands. You can't wear makeup. I grew up hearing that it was a sin for women to wear pants. Forget about it. You cannot. That's the ultimate sin. You cannot wear pants. I grew up hearing that women are not really called to preach. But, you know, I have issue. I take issue with all of those things that I just said, because I do all of them. I do all of these things, and guess what? I'm still anointed. Woo! I said, I'm still anointed, because one day I realized that God was bigger than all of these man-made and man-enforced traditions, and I allowed myself to be exposed to the bigness of who God really is. I got tired of being locked into a system that had me making stupid decisions because of everybody that I was listening to. All of my life was making stupid decisions. I got tired of it. When I looked at my baby going out the door to school, and it was cold in Detroit, and I saw her legs out there freezing, I'm like, this is crazy. I'm going to Kmart and buying my kids some pants. And it changes today. Now, you tell me my baby wasn't anointed in here today? Hello? I said, this is stupid. I ain't doing stupid things because you're doing. Listen, if you follow stupid, you do stupid. I got tired of being stupid, so I bucked the system. I did it a little bits at a time because I didn't want God to kill me, but I bucked it. Ooh, and I'm so glad I did. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last. I know religious folk are watching me today because they're not here. Y'all are not like that. But religious folk are watching me today and they'd be like, I can't believe you just told the people of God to buck the system. Listen, I didn't say buck God, okay? I said buck the system. Because there are laws, there are ordinances, there are commandments that have got to be observed. Okay, I'm not talking about those kind of things. Because you got to live right. You got to do right. Y'all help me in here a little bit. But when I found out that God was not behind all of their rules, honey, I broke them just as fast as I could. And I found out that he still loved me and he still anointed me and he still walks with me and he still talks with me and he still tells me I'm his own and I'm still saved. Oh, but I lived in that box for years because I had not been exposed to anything different. But then one day, a friend invited me to church with them. And when I walked into the door of this church, I was just expecting them to be singing just over in the glory land or whatever, because that's all I'd ever been exposed to. But when I walked in, they were saying, for he is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When I walked in the door and heard that, I was stunned. And tears began to fall down my face. Because the song said, he is. And all of a sudden, everything wasn't about tomorrow. He was real to me today. Woo! All of a sudden, exposure happened in my life, and I was exposed to a facet of God that I had never been exposed to, because all I ever knew was what was going to happen and what was going to come and what was going to be. But now I was realizing he is Lord today for the glory of God. I was exposed to praise, and I was exposed to worship, and I had to be exposed to that. God had to take me and put me in that little church and let me hear those songs, because later on in my life I would be a praise and worship leader. And if I'd never heard that, if I'd never been exposed to that, I could have never exposed anybody else to that. And because of that, it created a hunger for me to develop a relationship with God, not based out of religion, but based on he was there. He's a present help. He's here. It ain't all about later. And it ain't all about tomorrow. And from that moment on, my mind began to shift. My mind began to enlarge. And I could see God in places that I'd never seen him before, because I had never looked for him there before. I could hear him in places that I'd never heard him before, because I'd never listened for him there before. Touch somebody and tell him, I need exposure. Because God changes us by exposing us. I'm going to say that again. God changes us by exposing us. And sometimes God will expose us to stuff that we're not ready for yet. But because it's somewhere in your life in the future, he has to allow you to be exposed to things. For instance, I was a kid. When I was growing up, I hated sour cream. I wanted nothing to do with sour cream. Well, now I love sour cream. I love it on everything. I eat sour cream because I love it. But see, it just wasn't time then, because things change. You go through things in life, and all of a sudden, stuff that you didn't like, now you like. Stuff that you didn't need, now you need. Stuff that you didn't have none for it, now you got everything for it, because your life is changing. When Jesus came, it's kind of like when Jesus came to his own, the Bible said, and his own received him not. He wasn't familiar to them because they had a preconceived idea of what the Messiah was going to look like. And so when he came, because he didn't look like what they thought he was going to look like, they did not receive him. Now, you know that was stupid, and I know that was stupid, but they didn't know that was stupid because they had never been exposed to him before. What if God decides to show up in your life in a different way? What if he decides to bless you by using somebody that you don't necessarily approve of? What if he decides to use a sinner to give you a word of encouragement? What if your atheist coworker gives you the answer to the prayer that you have been praying about regarding your children for the last 6 months? What you gonna do then? Oh, Pastor Brady, God's not gonna use an atheist. He's not going to use an unbeliever like that. He used a donkey. He used a rock. God uses insignificant things, church. He used the jawbone of an ass. He used an axe head. He'll use faith that is no bigger than the size of a grain of mustard seed. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, because he's God all by himself. And we need to stretch our minds and say, God, expose me to everything about you. But see, we want to monopolize God. We want to say that God does 1, 2, and 3, and this is the reason that he does 1, 2, and 3. If he will do this, but it's because of this. He will heal you when I pray for you because I have crosses on my coat. Or he won't heal you when I pray for you because I got a pair of blue jeans on. Y'all ain't gonna help me in here. We want to monopolize God. The reason that there are so many denominations around the world today is because the church is full of narrow-minded, opinionated, underexposed people. But I, for one, I refuse to be imprisoned by one little group who has one little method that works that same way for them every time in their one little world, and they think that that is their only way that it can happen. No, I refuse. I have been loosed from you. I am free. I'm not coming back under your bondage. No, you are underexposed, and I'm not subjecting my free self to your life of limitations, because God is bigger than that. There are people that believe women are not supposed to preach. What you gonna do with me? What are you gonna do with me? They believe women can't be pastors. Well, what you gonna do with them? Because they gonna tell you I am their pastor. Somebody say exposure. I ain't gonna call no names, but that's the problem with some people out there. That makes them want to put your magazine under the shelf because they need exposure. Sit down, it's okay. There are preachers. There are preachers who think you cannot preach if you don't have a robe on. How stupid is that? Because I've seen preachers get up in blue jeans, preach circles around them, and eat their lunch once they get in the pulpit. It's called exposure. It's called lengthening your cord. cords and strengthening your stakes. Somebody said, well, we're talking about turning things, Pastor, and you probably should be preaching about decisions. If you want us to turn, we got to make decisions to make the turn. And I agree, decisions are very vital. But I believe that exposure might be just a tad bit more vital because without being exposed to all of the options, it is nearly impossible for you to make an intelligent decision. So you can make a decision, but you need to be exposed to things. This is the very reason that some marriages end in a divorce. You know, they'll be like, oh, I love James. Excuse me, if your name is James. James, I'm sorry. I just realized James is sitting right in front of me, dead center. I just use James. I don't know why I just use that name. Not him, but that name. And you'll be like, oh, okay, so now I just love him. I love him so much. We have been dating now for 3 weeks. He is an answer to prayer for me, Pastor Brady. And I want you to perform the ceremony. I just know this is what I prayed for. This I just knew when I saw him. I knew this was God for my life. I know I'm only 17, but I just know that I love him. He does things to me. James is everything to me, Pastor Brady. He's everything. My heart, it just beats when he's around. I hope it beats when he's not around too. I love James. He's just, my hands get all sweaty and I just feel like laughing every time I see him. He makes me laugh. Oh, shut up. He's going to make you cry too before it is all said and done. Why don't you just slow down a little bit? Because I love him. I know there'll never be anybody else in my life like James. Could it be that you love James because you've never met Jamal? Could it be that you love James because you've never met Joseph or Jeff or Jonathan or Jethro or anybody else like that? Could it be that you love him because he's the first man that told you you were beautiful? Oh, see, I know some of y'all can't say amen right now because you married James and you stuck right now sitting next to him. He's right there by you and you can't say amen. You want to say amen, but you can't. Your foot's just patting. Your foot's shouting, amen, amen, amen. Woo! I ain't even talking to you. I'm talking to people who are yet in the valley of decision. And I'm telling you, don't you dare make a permanent decision over something that you have not been exposed to all of the options in. Make sure you get exposed to all of your options. Stop. And I'm tickled right now because I'm watching y'all look at your husbands and wives. No. Stop. Stop rushing. Stop and smell the roses. I know it sounds hokey, but it's true. Stop and smell the roses. Stop and enjoy your life. Expose yourself to other people in other places with other interests than yours. People that have other things to offer besides you. Travel and meet other people that were born in your generation. I know you need some things to turn, but you cannot make healthy decisions without having healthy exposure.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, Enlarged by Exposure, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 888-CHERYL8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady.